Hey, welcome to Escape from Plan A, where I'm talking to you from bed with my wife, Shan.
Hello, everyone.
I've never done this before. This is the way to podcast. After you've showered, gotten ready for bed, I'm comfortable, it's late, and here we are, lying in bed with the computer running, and we're going to do a podcast about marriage and relationships.
I thought you said we want to focus on dating.
Yeah. Well, but whatever. Love. You know? Because that's the thing. I think people are avoiding the big goal, which is love. I think people are instead trying to find, you know, chemistry, excitement. I'm not saying you shouldn't find these things, but they're looking for, they're also looking to have their, quote, needs fulfilled. You know, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, their sexual needs. I'm talking about guys, you know, and like, I just think that the concept of going out and as a guy, as a man, wanting your needs fulfilled is backwards.
Don't all people want to fulfill their needs?
Yes, but I think that the need of a man is to serve someone else, is to serve something else.
That's a very traditional way of thinking.
I don't think it's traditional. I mean, yeah, I think it's traditional in the sense that we don't think that way anymore. But I don't think it's just a matter of preference or culture. I believe that my experience tells me that this is hardwired. It is part of human nature. It's in our genes. And if we don't find that, and I think that's what love is. Love is ultimately finding someone and something that you're going to serve, that you're going to give yourself up to, right? That you put above yourself. If you don't find that, then, you know, something feels wrong. Something inherently, you know, doesn't feel right.
Maybe.
And that's not because of culture or anything. It's just because that's what men need. That's what people need.
But that's not what people thinking this day.
And that's why I think people are pretty sad these days.
Or have like a lot of mental issue.
Yeah, like they're lonely and depressed. You know, but there's more dating apps than there's ever been, right? Like we have more means to date than we have ever in the past, and yet nobody's happy. So I've got to think that it's something beyond, you know, availability of matching people, you know.
You want to talk about a little bit about your dating experience?
Well, my dating experience was I got divorced, and then and it was a pretty spectacular divorce, I'd say.
Why would that be spectacular?
Dramatic, you know. It wasn't like a we drifted apart kind of divorce. It was like a thermonuclear war type of divorce.
But I didn't see you were seeing some sort of, you know, you're not happy, definitely.
Yeah.
You're sort of depressed in a way.
I was overwhelmed, I think. Okay. I don't think I was depressed. I was kind of excited about getting out of it. I wasn't depressed, but I was overwhelmed.
But I know, because I think I get to know him like half year after his divorce. And I can tell he wasn't really, you know, it's not the best time.
In my life? Oh, certainly not.
It's like, you know, you always seem kind of not happy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like, yeah, it was a very chaotic time in my life, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's when I met you.
Yeah. And you, I think the reason, remember, like, I said to myself, you know, I'm not, the answer to getting divorced and going through a marriage and all that, it is not to get myself back into another relationship. Like, you know, but the answer to me seemed to be like, hey, you know what? Why don't I just date casually is the word, is the term, and just have fun and not take life so seriously. You know, I remember I even had this conversation with my boss because I told him, you know, I was like, hey, by the way, just want to let you know, going through a divorce and all that. He was like, dude, man, he was like, you got it made. He was like, you don't have any kids. I know what you make. You make good money. He was like, you know, just focus on work and have so you could have the city. You know, this is all it's just the, you know, it's like the world is made for you. You know,
I think that his fantasy, too.
It is. And he's like one of the he is one of the most miserable people. I know. This is my old boss. He's a really nice person. He's a good person, but...
Yeah, pretty nice to you.
Oh, yeah. He's a very nice person, but he is, you know, just... He's just one of the most miserable people I know. And now it's two divorces for him in a row, with one kid per divorce. So, a real mess he's made for himself.
Yeah. And worse than my experience, dating experience is pretty different than yours.
Mm.
I just, like, you know, before you, I never married, and I dated for, when I met Teen, I was using the dating app for, like, 4 years.
Coffee meets bagel.
Yeah, and, but most of the time, I'm just taking my break, because it's really tiresome. So I would say, in total, I might use it for less than 2 years. So on and off, I'm, like, I rest for, like, 2 years in total. I said that really make me tired part is not because I need to introduce myself over and over again. Because that one I have no problem. But the problem is like I feel like it's not going anywhere. No matter how much, you know, I do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've talked about this. Like, I think one of the big problems that I see in the dating culture
mm-hmm.
is that, which look, I'm no expert on. It's not like I dated a lot, right? You were literally the fifth match, you know, and I was expecting to run through dozens and dozens and dozens of matches for uh-huh. years and to have just fun all the time. And then you were the fifth person I matched with, and we're now married with really nothing in between. I mean, no interregnum. I mean, it was like we met on our first date and then it was a clear straight shot to us getting married last summer or the summer. I guess the summer's over. So 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem, so I'm not an expert on dating culture. Okay. But you know, I think it's pretty clear. I think it's pretty obvious what it is. It's not some big secret. And I think the big problem is that men, I'd say, I don't want to speak for women, but like men are not, you know, they're not willing to either be or admit that they're looking for something serious and they're serious about this. They want to find someone to love and to eventually marry and maybe start a family with. And because I don't know if it's considered a bad look to be that serious. But, you know, ultimately...
I think people find that is kind of like cliche or something.
Cliche?
Yeah.
It's a good cliche.
Yeah. I like it. I'm not like... But I think people nowadays, they just want to follow the trend.
You know, the most unoriginal thing is people who want to be original in everything they do and say. You know? Like, first of all, there's very few people who can... who should even be trying to do that. But I just think that it's the people who want to be different who end up being the most cliche, in my opinion. You know, this conscious effort to be different and original.
Why are people so against the original?
You know, I don't know. I think it's this market, you know, it's this concept that you have to differentiate yourself and you've got to be different and you've got to, you know, you've got to be special and unique, you know? So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of men who come across as unserious and, you know, I was telling you about before I was at, Chris's birthday party a long mm-hmm. time ago, mm-hmm. like right after you and I first started dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know whether we were going to be like, you know, a serious couple or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I knew I really liked you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting down at this dinner with like people I don't really know, like some of Chris's other friends that from his, you know, that mm-hmm. of his that I don't know. And Adam was there. And then I was telling Adam about you and I was like, yeah, you know, things are things which this woman is really nice. Like we've had a few dates and it's all been, he met you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's great, man. And I was like, yeah, but you know, I told her and I'm, you know, I was like, I'm not like in it to win it. You know, like I'm just kind of not like a totally serious guy.
Yeah, I remember you kind of tell me that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not, but I was being honest, right? Which is another thing, I'm being honest. Okay, well, I was being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of Chris's friends, this woman who was sitting near me, I don't know her. She suddenly heard what I said and turned to me and was like, you know what? I really don't appreciate that. And I was like, don't appreciate what? She was like, I just don't like it. I don't like it when people say that. I said, what are you talking about? She was like, that you would say that you really like her, but you're not serious. And at the time, I was, I guess, a little bit wondering, like, who the hell are you to tell me, you know, that you don't like it or whatever? But then part of me was like, well, she must have really meant that. To say it, you know, it was.
She definitely run into a situation like that. That's why it really pissed her off.
Yeah, I really pissed her off, and she didn't know you. She doesn't know who you are. Right?
But then so. She saw a lot of people doing the same thing over and over again, and yeah. You know, she's frustrated.
She was frustrated, and I know, you know, at the time I didn't really understand, but I do now. I think. From my perspective here at 45 years old, which is the absolute midpoint, you know, of life, if you're lucky, right, is that unless you're serious, I actually don't think that men should go out and actively look for people unless you're serious. I don't think that casually dating is a good thing. I know that sounds really, like, conservative or, you know, whatever. But I actually think that if you're going to put yourself out in the world as someone who is looking for a relationship, which is what it is to post a profile picture of yourself on a dating app, that you should only do that if you are in the mental space where you're like, no, I'm serious. I actually do want to find someone to love and to form a lifelong relationship with.
What happened?
Monogamous.
What happened if they are serious, but they don't feel like there are many serious people out there? That's why they just
put themselves. I mean, that's another problem. But I would say the first thing is to not put yourself, not be part of the problem, and put yourself out into the world, the dating world, if you yourself are not serious. If you're just out there going, oh, you know, I don't really know. You know, like, you know, I just think that the, you know, it's pointless to put yourself out there and then be the type that's like, yeah, I don't know what I want.
I think they also afraid that if they're too serious, then they're going to be the one who get hurt.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing is, like, I do think a lot of guys are fearful of that, you know, and they shouldn't be. I think if you're fearful of being hurt, it means that you're not ready to be serious, and you maybe shouldn't actually date, and you should do other things. Like, you need to, you know, figure out what's going on in your life that needs attention and focus and effort. And it's probably at that point not finding someone. It's probably something else. It's probably something that has to do with figuring out your professional life or figuring out something, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're probably not, if you're fearful of that. Here's why I say that is because I think that there are two, that there's a difference in maturity where it's like, I think when guys talk about having their needs fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
that's when you're likely to be fearful of rejection and abandonment. And you know what I mean?
That therefore they just hide themselves or...
Yeah, or you know, I mean, I don't know how they necessarily, I think different guys probably respond differently to that fear, but that fear to me seems to be the same fear of abandonment that children have of their mother. They're fearful of being abandoned by their parents, particularly their mother. And so the fear of rejection to me feels like it's directly related to this childhood fear, which means that it's kind of like an immature fear.
Mm-hmm.
And a mature man actually shouldn't feel the fear of rejection of women. That should not be a fear.
Oh, I never feel that way, even as a woman.
You don't feel fear of rejection?
No, why would I?
Because you're a woman.
Okay.
And women, to me, like I said, I think women are buyers and men are sellers in the marketplace of dating and romance. Men are selling themselves and women are buying.
I guess in a way, because mm-hmm. I always let the men to choose the restaurant. And I tell mm-hmm. them what I don't like.
Yeah.
So I guess in a way.
You chose on our date. No. I chose.
Yeah, you gave me.
I gave you options. Yeah, and then you said up to you. Yeah.
I didn't say up to you. Oh, yeah, I did.
I think you did. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And is that right? I chose?
You chose.
Okay.
But I tell you what I don't like.
Yeah. But anyway, point being, I think that, yeah, I think the fear of being rejected is a signal that of immaturity.
Meaning that if you are ready to date, you should be serious and not afraid of getting hurt.
I would say if you're going to put yourself out and see the problem with the dating market is that it's so diluted by unserious people who are not mature and ready to actually put themselves out in a meaningful way and say, yes, I'm actually a person who is ready and willing to enter into, you know, a serious relationship and to fall in love with someone.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I agree with Tim because I remember when I was dating, I specifically looking for a guy who are, you know, responsible
mm-hmm.
and kind
mm-hmm.
and who can make more money than me.
Yeah.
So those are three basic requirements. Mm-hmm. Like after my discussion with my friend who also in the dating market at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you can only pick like, you know, she asked me to write down all the things I want mm-hmm. and then pick the three, the most important thing for me. Mm-hmm. So those are the three things that I picked. And I think the problem with me for the whole time, why it is so hard to get, you know, get a boyfriend, because it's just really hard to find a real man. That's what I have been telling people. I guess what it means is, mean like I can't find any guy who seem like able to take responsibility.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you mean by, you know, they are immature.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing is that, I see this is easier for me to see now being I'm literally like an old guy now. And it's easier to see from my perspective the obvious differences between young guy mentality and old guy mentality.
Yeah, because you're online a lot, right? And you also talk to a lot of different people.
Yeah. And I read a lot of shit online, you know. It's like I read a lot of trash, you know, and I'm not like I like the trash. Like I like to see where people are at, right? Uh-huh. And it's obvious to me that like there's a lot of men these days who think of manhood in terms of what is called masculinity, mm-hmm. meaning male traits. And there's all a lot of pseudoscience around this, like women like big muscles. Women like men who can dominate them in bed. Women like men who, you know, like, I don't know, eat meat or some shit, or drive Lamborghinis because.
Oh, you mean like an Andrew Tate?
Yeah, like an Andrew Tate kind of guy.
Tate.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing with Andrew Tate is like that idea of masculinity is a child's idea of a man. It's a immature fantasy of what a man is that's based on cartoons, you know? It's ridiculous. It's comic book shit. It's not real life, you know? A real man picks me up in a Bugatti, in a Lamborghini, you know? Or a real man flies in a private jet and, you know, this.
How many men have private jet to begin with?
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, that's not the point. I mean, look, go ahead, go earn $1 billion and fly a private jet or whatever. But that's not the key to the issue is what they're doing, right? I think the mistake that they're making is that they're still in this childhood phase where they're distinguishing between girls and boys. Because that's something that children do, right? Children are the ones that really pick up quickly, like they're focused a lot on the differentiation between girls and boys. That's puberty, and that's all that, you know, that's all that gender differentiation stuff.
If someone just classify women like this kind of men, women only like this kind of men. If you say that, I feel like that's just discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Because women are like so different from each other. Even me and my friend, we are very different from each other. And we, you know, have different life.
Yeah.
Right? So.
But I think that I guess what I'm saying is the immature way of thinking about manhood is to think of men simply as not women, right? Meaning we think of masculinity and manhood as opposed to or in opposition to femininity and, you know, womanhood, right? Okay. Meaning man is defined by not being a woman. It's the opposite of a woman.
Okay.
Right? Whereas there's another way of thinking about it, which I think is the mature way of thinking about masculinity, which is the difference between manhood and childhood. Meaning, the thing about a man is not what makes you not a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about being feminine. You don't have to worry about... There's a lot of things about... Look, both men and women both have man-like aspects or woman-like aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no like, hard separation between what a man is like and what a woman is like. I think you and I in our marriage... I don't think there's a huge difference in scope of like what our roles are.
No,
don't you think?
We just,
I mean, there are differences, but it's not like huge. It's not like
pretty flexible, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I do the cooking.
In toilet.
Yeah, I wash the toilet.
I try to do whatever he doesn't want to do.
I do a lot of the entertaining. I do a lot of the dancing.
Right? So that he can exercise it.
Yeah. But. The to me, like, man, the difference is that when you're older and more mature, you think about manhood as a state of maturity versus and development versus when you were a child.
Yeah, I got a question. Why can they go past the fantasy part of, you know?
Because they're still stuck. They're stuck. They're stuck in because the culture. I think because there aren't a lot of role models.
That's true.
Right? There's not a lot of like, there's not a whole generation of like educated, I don't mean like, you know, they went into college or grad school, but I mean educated within the culture to be responsible, mature men who are trustworthy and, you know, are dependable.
Oh, you mean like all the role model they have is from a cartoon? Like,
yeah, and also all the role models in America, like America is just not a very mature society. You know, it doesn't encourage, you know, we see this all the time. I bitch to you all the time, right? About there's, you know, you'll see like grown ass men behaving like fucking children.
I do find in general, American, not just men, also women are kind of childish.
Super childish,
yeah.
You know? In a really negative way, too. Not in a, like, a cool, you know, fun way, but in, like, a really antisocial way. And you know, it's a big fucking problem that I have with living here in America is that it's a very immature... It does not encourage maturity, especially... And I've said this before a lot, is that the capitalism kind of likes young people because young people are stupid. When it comes to money, it's not until you're older that, you know, you tend to put the brakes on spending and really think about money in terms of saving, yeah, and investing. It's like when you're younger, it's like money in, money out, and they love that. And so they encourage people to maintain immaturity because that actually makes you spend more. That's my theory, is that, I mean, there's many reasons, but one of them is that... they don't like maturity because you tend not to spend as much money.
Is it because it's easier to control them if they spend so much?
Yeah, well, I think the ultimate purpose is for them to spend.
Oh, you mean the capitalism?
Yeah, so they really encourage these immature
behavior.
Like, yeah, you could see it in, if you watch like any commercial on TV, you notice that it's always, they're always a little bit funny, but the joke is that it's a grown man acting like a child.
Yeah, they're like bling bling. It's like women dancing.
Yeah, you know, or they're stupid. They're just straight up dumb. Or they're just dumb. You know, they're just dumb. And it's funny. We think dumb men are funny and cute. And we like to...
Wait. Women like that?
No.
Women like...
The commercials like that.
Okay, but yeah.
I don't think women like that. I think the commercials...
I don't think I like any dumb men.
Yeah. They're all... You know, they're all... All the men in commercials are like Joey from Friends.
Joey is funny, but I don't want to marry him.
Yeah, but all the men in commercials these days are like Joey from Friends.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, because they like that. They like they like to promote a culture.
Where's that old Joey? Oh, no.
Huh?
You promote a culture that every man just like Joey?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know, and it's a real problem. And but because of something as stupid as like, oh, yeah, because, you know, younger, immature men spend more money and are more reckless with money, they end up creating a culture that is actually opposed to the idea that people should mature past that level of existence into something like more serious, you know, and not think everything's funny all the time, and you know, not think in these childish terms.
Isn't that mean the if everybody just like Joey, isn't mean the culture gonna the society gonna collapse?
I don't know if it's gonna collapse, but it's certainly not going in a good direction. You know, well, in many ways it is collapsing, right? If you look at certain metrics, I mean, if you look at the sustainability of marriage, it's collapsed.
Well, I mean, it's
fewer people are getting married, and most of them end in divorce.
Yeah, and then the one that did not get divorced, I remember there's a comment saying that, like, whoa, it's really... So that more than half of people are going to spend the rest of their life together, that sounds really scary. And I'm like...
Yeah.
Why would this comment sound so...
I mean, America is a place that is obsessed with being attractive, like young people being attractive. And yet, you know, no one seems to actually be attracted to each other. You know, I think there's a lot of repulsion out there. You know, I think a lot of women find men in America repulsive because they are signaling immature value systems.
I think they just don't know how to behave themselves.
Yeah, because they're immature.
Oh.
If you're, I think one of the things about mature adults is that we know how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
We know what to say and what to do. In a given situation, that's a real sign of maturity, is being able to know what the fuck you're doing.
Because also show women that you're actually connected to this world.
Yeah.
I mean, immature, it's like, you just don't know how to...
You don't know how to do anything. You
don't
know how to talk to people.
Get along with him.
Yeah.
You just don't know, like, how to talk to him, how to understand him. It's everything. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So that's a real... That's another problem, is like, you know, the one sign of immaturity is they're always saying the wrong thing. And that's all, you see that in commercials too, is constantly like, you know, these grown men saying the wrong thing and acting dumb, you know, and whatever. And it's passed off as funny. And I think that there's just an obsession with being funny and being adorable and being like, you know, charming in that sense.
That's what a kid would do.
Yeah, exactly. Kids like, exactly. That's exactly it. That's what I'm saying, is that it's a children's culture. It's an image. It's a culture built around immaturity. And that's why I think a lot of guys are finding a hard time in dating, because they're immature. And it's not their fault per se. It's because the culture is giving them strong signals that they shouldn't mature.
Well, but if you're looking for a woman, shouldn't you at least like know what a woman needs? Like,
yes,
from the base.
Yeah, but that, but that's, no, notice, like, that's what we were talking about in the beginning. There, none of these, well, not none, but, like, a lot of guys are not talking about what do women need? What are they looking for? A lot of men are going out there going, like, well, what do I need? What are my needs? What am I looking for?
Okay, so if you're saying that men are sellers, so you're basically just saying that my price is, like, $100, but what can you offer? It's like, nothing. So why would women, you know, want to buy you?
Yeah, well, they're not going to get any offers, and or they do get offers, but they don't know how to complete the transaction because they don't even know what's going on, you know? So, you know, I think that the idea is that, you know, men will go out, put themselves on sale, but so to speak, hopefully get, you know, a bunch of different offers, and then, you know, you pick the best one for yourself. But the ultimate thing is, like, it just, to me, the thing about the immature mindset is that it's actually a much harder mindset to maintain. It's a much harder life to live than a mature mindset, because a mature mindset, you've gotten over yourself. Like, you know, life has become bigger than just you.
Mm.
Right. And so it's just, it's easier. That's actually easier, not harder, because you're not limited to yourself anymore. You are not setting up the limitations of your life, in a sense, because you have grown bigger than yourself. You know, so your perspective on the world encompasses more than just your needs and your desires, which is a trap. It's a prison.
Mm.
Which is why a lot of people feel lonely. You know, it's not because they're isolated. It's not because it's because they're imprisoned by their own needs. And they haven't realized that what they need to do is give themselves up to something. And in a way, that's actually what falling in love is about.
Okay. So right? I think I get what you mean. I think what you're saying is, like, you need to understand your need. But at the same time, in order to build a connection with the outside world so that you don't feel lonely and trapped just, like, living in your own world, you have to understand what other people need.
Yeah.
So, and then you need to understand what you need, and you need to understand what you can offer in order to survive in the dating world.
Yeah, and that you are not the purpose of the universe. Like, you, it's not just about you. It's about everything. Like, you serve a purpose, you know, in this whole thing. And it's not just serving yourself. You have to serve something other than just yourself. Otherwise, there's no need for you. And that's the loneliest thing, is to think that you're not needed by anyone or anything. You know, nobody needs you. You're extra. You're pointless. That is absolutely the experience, I think, of being isolated and alienated and depressed, is this idea that nobody needs you. Nobody cares about you.
Mm.
Right. So what's the opposite of that is, like, love. Love is the opposite of feeling isolated and not needed.
Because love needs to be both ways.
Yeah.
It cannot just be one way.
Yeah. I think that it's about someone needs you. That to me is ultimately the story. If you go and, like, look at a lot of love stories or literature about love or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, ultimately it is about, you know, a man who, you know, I always say this, one of my favorite books or movies about this is that movie About a Boy. We mm-hmm. watched it together, that Hugh Grant movie.
I remember.
And it is not, it is about his romantic life, but it is actually about his relationship to a young boy.
Yeah.
And how he has to kind of act like an uncle / big brother to him, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he doesn't have a father.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the missing piece for him to develop, because he's like got everything, right? He's rich.
Yeah, he's rich. He have nothing to do.
He's got nothing to do. Nobody. And it begins with saying, you know, every man is an island. He was like, you know, I don't want the baggage of other people. Uh-huh. He is a very unserious dater, uh-huh, which is uh-huh. where he just would date single mothers.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because
right?
he said that that's the easiest. Easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then because then they quickly would realize that he was not a serious man, and they would dump him.
Mm-hmm,
and he was like, that's great, because I want to date someone and then get dumped.
Mm-hmm.
But then he would spend every Christmas alone, mm-hmm. and he realized his life had no point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realized that there's this, like, okay, well, they're, and he's, like, considers, I think, at some point, in the book, I think he considers killing himself. The movie, I don't think, goes that dark. But
he looked pretty bored in the movie.
In the movie, there's moments where he's, like, super depressed, right? Like, what, you know, he's, like, on the verge of jumping off the, and the other thing is, he meets a woman that he really admires. He doesn't have the confidence to really, truly pursue her because he realizes he has no meaning.
Yeah, like, he feels small.
He feels small compared to her.
Uh-huh.
But then there's this 13-year-old boy who's getting, like, bullied mercilessly at school.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, okay, I can help this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And just because he fulfills a need in this young boy that he mm-hmm. doesn't even know. He's mm-hmm. the boy is actually the just some random kid that tagged along on one of his dates.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides to help the kid mm-hmm. and that changes his life.
Yeah, he starts building a bridge on his island and able to connect to the real world.
Yeah, because no matter what, he was like, ultimately, there's this kid that kind of needs me. So I gotta show up.
The meaning of his life right now, the purpose of his life.
Yeah. So, and it frees him. The fact that there's someone making demands on him and complicating his life with needs mm-hmm. that he's got to fulfill
mm-hmm.
saves him. And allows him to mature into a man.
Wow, this kid's actually like
which is why it's such a good movie.
You know, go from a boy to a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, and I think that that's such a great story because it's really just kind of rips apart the idea of this modern, you know, alpha guy who, you know, he drives a sports car, he lives in a cool townhouse in the middle of London, he's got a bunch of glamorous hot girlfriends, you know, I mean, he's basically Hugh Grant in the 90s. He was basically playing Hugh Grant himself, right? Mm-hmm, he was basically mm-hmm. playing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, great story. One of my favorites.
Are you saying that in order for men to go past the fantasy world, they should try to help someone?
Yeah.
Find some meaning in their life?
Yeah.
To see how they can fulfill other people's need and then to build a confidence?
Yeah, or that if they're dating, instead of thinking about what your needs are as a man, number one is, if that's where you're at, I would say don't date. And instead, figure out all the things that those needs, fulfill them yourself. Okay? If you need a woman to cook for you, learn how to cook. If you need a woman to clean for you, learn how to clean. Mm-hmm. If you need a woman to, you know, whatever, right?
Oh, so if you need anything, just do it yourself.
Just do it yourself, right? And I think that the point is to be a self-sufficient kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, you'll be way more attractive to women.
Popular.
Right? If you're actually someone who's like capable, knows how to take care of themselves.
Yeah, women need that. I mean, if you cannot take care of yourself, how could you take care of other people?
Right. And when you are dating, number one is, I think, be serious in the sense that I'm here to find a real match. Like, I'm here to be serious about, I'm looking for something serious.
I'm serious about my life.
I'm serious about my life, and I want someone who's serious about their life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really think about, like, if you like this person, mm-hmm. if you meet someone that you like,
mm-hmm.
think instead of how this person can fulfill your needs, you should think about how you can fulfill that person's needs, how you can serve her, how you can help her life be better.
Yes, I would say when I was like dating, I know that what I want, mm-hmm. you know, I just told you. And I also know what is my advantage.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. I would be like, well, at least I'm like financial independent.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and.
Yeah, I like that about you a lot.
I'm not, like, crazy.
Yep.
I'm not that, like, I'm needy, but not that needy.
I remember I told you the moment where I decided to be serious about you was on the roof of my building.
Yes.
And you were usually, right? Mm-hmm. If I take a girl up to the roof and, you know, was I smoking weed that night?
I might have been. I don't remember.
Well, I sit on the roof. It's at night. And usually the, you know, people start talking a lot of hoo-ha bullshit, mm-hmm. you know. But you were talking about how you wanted to maybe buy another house. Yeah, yes. And all this stuff. And I remember thinking, like, you know what? I don't really meet women who talk like that. You really? Know, like, yeah, just like you were just had these really practical, simple, but smart plans about your life.
I thought that's what most people, like, you know, would do.
No. Well, not in my experience.
I mean, in my company. I mean, even though it's pretty low income, but most people have their own house.
Well, I'm just saying that that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I grew up.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, at that moment, I was like, you know, I like this a lot. I like just sitting here not talking about hoo-ha bullshit, but, you know, just talking about, you know, what your plans are, right? And I was like, I like this. This is meaningful.
Hey, I get the rooftop. Like, they give me, you know, see a lot of nice looking
houses.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I want one of them. Like, not in that neighborhood. That neighborhood pretty expensive. But, you know, I thought people on the rooftop can see the future. That's why you're on the rooftop, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing. I think that the underlying problem is we live in a culture that encourages us to stay immature and to our own detriment.
Yeah, but if being immature is unable to pursue the serious relationship any further.
Yeah.
At least to a like woman who looking for a serious relationship, it's not gonna, you know.
Yeah. I trust that actually women still maintain, I mean, I could be wrong, but I still think that women have an instinct for finding men who are more mature and responsible, and that the youthful immaturity is a turnoff. And if the woman likes that, she's not a good match for you anyway.
Oh, you mean like
if that's what girls are looking for, you don't want her.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe there is like a whole culture of immature people looking for other immature people to have immature relationships with. But I think that outside of a handful of exceptions, that's, in fact, even the exceptions, I think ultimately it hurts them. It's not a good idea.
Well, I think that the reason why people feel tired from the dating world, because, you know.
Yeah.
Because they want to be serious, but they can't be.
Well, there's also just like straight up narcissists who are absolutely out to get exactly what they want in a childish sense. And, you know, they want a trophy girlfriend. They want, you know, loads of sex, loads of like fun experiences. And then they want to cut it off.
Okay.
And really, first of all, let's face it. You have to be a pretty exceptional man to be able to even handle that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've told you about this guy before, that guy, Simon Cowell.
Oh yeah. Simon.
Great example. I think it was in the 2000s when he first became famous from American Idol as the judge.
Okay.
And, you know, he was like, I'm not sure I would say he was a good looking guy.
He's okay.
But he had a certain sort of, coupled with his fame and his job, his money.
Mm-hmm.
I think women found him, some women found him very attractive. I mean, he was able to get a lot of women.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he dated a lot of famous, hot women, way younger than him.
Okay.
And then, you know, he would always end it. He'd dump them.
Mm-hmm.
But they would never say anything bad about him because he always said goodbye to them by giving them a house.
Yeah, if that become a pattern, I get. Then, you know, the girlfriend was just expecting him to give them a how by the end of the relationship.
So yeah.
They already have that kind of expectation. Why would they say anything, you know, shitty about him?
The thing that he understood that a lot of immature guys don't is that he wasn't looking for love. He understood that his relationships were transactional. They were transactional relationships. And, I'm not going to say that you can't have good transactional relationships so long as you're not deluded about it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand it's transactional. She understands it's transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But mm-hmm. do not get confused
mm-hmm.
about what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you're fine.
Okay.
Right? Which is why I personally don't have a problem with guys seeing sex workers. Because it's like, look, as long as you understand it's transactional.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically no different, except he's just spending way more money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But the thing about these relationships is they are transactional. They're not about love. They're not about self-sacrifice. They're not about whatever. They're about, negotiating the terms of a deal. And it's usually the men paying money and the mm-hmm. woman providing sex and companionship.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he was able to do it. But see, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's rich and famous,
mm-hmm.
he aged so horribly and weirdly. He's got this fucking weird ass face now, and he's got all this weird plastic surgery. He looks like absolute shit.
I didn't, watch that show, so I don't know how he looks.
You don't know how he looks? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll show you a picture.
It's really horrible. I did see some actor that did the plastic surgery, and they look pretty plastic right now. They can barely move.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll show you.
Mm.
You know it's bad when you do plastic surgery and it uh-huh. shows up like it has all these. Look at this.
He can move his face.
Yeah.
Ah, not natural.
Yeah, his eyes are really weird.
It's somewhere too tight.
Yeah.
That you cannot even give people.
You see? Do you see this?
Real.
All right, this is 20 years ago.
Okay.
Not a bad looking guy. Right?
It's okay.
He's normal looking. He's good enough. He's good looking enough. Mm-hmm. Right? But boom, look at that.
Now has like a mysterious smile. Nobody knows why.
This is a guy who doesn't really have realistic expectations of what getting older is all about.
He's afraid of getting old. That's he's why terrified he got the plastic surgery.
Look at his teeth.
Oh my god, too white.
Just like there's way too white.
It can shine in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, he fucked himself up pretty bad.
Oh my god, his eye.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Hey, what happened?
Okay. But the point being, I don't think he's like a bad guy. I'm sure he's not a great guy, but.
I mean, no women say shit about him.
Yeah, I think he was a person who never left the woman feeling like he cheated them out of something. It was like, look, I'm gonna give you a lot of money. And then you'll be my girlfriend, and then mm-hmm. I'm going to dump you, and I'll have another mm-hmm. one, but mm-hmm. you'll have a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked, but now look at him. He's just like this ghoul, because he's like, you could tell he's a guy that probably just...
Don't want to be.
He's
afraid of
He's got some Peter Pan shit going on.
Oh.
And he doesn't want to be mature and older. He still wants to have these... He still wants to be that cool, unattached guy that could,
Well, he thought his money can do it.
He's obsessed with himself. He never got over himself. And so I think because if you never get over yourself.
That's why you care about your love so much.
Yeah. And you don't have like real love in your life where you're like put something above yourself. Then you get really scared of aging. Because you're limited again.
Because that's all you can have.
That's all you can have is you. So if you are getting older and dustier and crinklier, that's terrible. Yeah.
Oh shit, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. But if you have like love in your life and you feel like there's something more than just yourself,
mm-hmm.
then aging is actually a very nice thing. And I look at old people and I think they're beautiful.
Oh yeah, they're pretty cute.
Yeah.
Some of them.
It doesn't horrify me at all, when I see old people. I think that is completely natural and wonderful. And when I see really old people, I'm like, hey, congratulations for making it this far.
Yeah, I mean, not that many.
I hope to be there one day myself, if I'm lucky, is how I think about it.
Yeah, that's how I feel too, mm-hmm. And I'm...
But some people want to cheat aging. They never want to,
there's some people that they're so rich to the point that they just want to dump money to see how far they can go.
I think some people reach a point in life where they wish that they could just hold on to it forever. You know, they achieve some level of something. Something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Something great. Something, you know, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to bottle it and live it. And they want to live the same day every day for the rest of their life.
Basically, they want to live in the past.
Yeah, forever. And it's a horror. That's a horror. That's a real tragedy. That is not the path that you're supposed to take. Let's put it that way. That's a trap. And it's a cautionary tale. Like, you shouldn't end up like that. You know?
Mm.
That's the recipe to have awful plastic surgery in your future.
A lot of people have this day.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But yeah, that's really, I just know that's what I've been telling you about with these guys that mm-hmm. I've noticed online.
Mm-hmm. You know more than me, even though I met a lot of them in real life. But the problem I feel is like they're pretty selfish.
But you said, and you're far from the only person who said this, is that the dating market
mm-hmm.
is not great. Meaning, like, there's a real deficit of good guys on the market.
I wouldn't say good guy. I would just say real men. That's yeah. the term I use to you. And I don't know whether people understand what I mean. But yeah, I not just simply me. My black coworker also have the same problem. And I, you know, well, it's a universal. You mean
regarding her daughter?
Yeah, regarding her daughter. And I was like, yeah, that's a universal thing.
You're not the only person I've heard that from. I've heard that from a lot of people.
It's so hard. It's just so hard because every time you just feel like you're going nowhere. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like you can't communicate with that person.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice people. I'm not saying they're not nice, but they're like in a different world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, and also, I mean, I stopped using dating app long times ago, but the other day I want to write something about my dating experience, and then I re-download my app, and then I saw there's still some people who, like, we got connected in, like, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
They're still using the app.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
That's kind of frightening.
They're pretty scary. I'm like, wow, it's like, I feel like 4 years for me is like, I mean, in total, only 2 years for dating. But that's, like, too much for me already. But those people in the market for, like, what, 7 years? 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty scary. I'm like, are they really looking for a relationship, or they have difficulty to looking for a serious relationship or something? I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing is the wedding thing.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
Why did that come up? We were talking about that recently.
Because my cousin-in-law and I, we both did not have wedding banquet.
Okay.
So I was like, and I also went to, I was bridesmaid for two of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the wedding. I mean, I have a lot of fun in those wedding, in my friend's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel really grateful that I can help my friend out.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the thing that they did. It's like, you know, the super long list, like what time you do what and this and that. And I feel terrified. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's like really scary. There's so many things to do. So I'm like, I just don't get like why people want big wedding.
Yeah. Or I had two weddings.
Uh-huh.
And one was your prototypical sort of like, you know, middle-class professional guy trying to throw a fancy wedding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it was at the New York Botanical Garden and, you know, spent a bunch of money. And
mm-hmm.
it was kind of miserable, actually, because I had gotten into a huge fight with my family the night before because everyone's stressed out and, you know, they were late and this and that. And you're just trying to and there's just so much to do.
Yes!
And my theory about all this is that the wedding...
Uh-huh.
The middle class professional guy wedding, you know, where you rent out, you know, it's a whole industry now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Was the result, I think, of rich people who splurged on their kids and threw their kids really fancy weddings because they're rich and they want to do something nice for their children.
Yeah, like what I said before, if my parent arranged something for me, all I need to do is just like someone help me to pick a dress.
Yeah, why not, right?
And I'm do the makeup and then I just need to show up. I really don't mind. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to go through like million other things. I mean, I remember the last thing my friend need to do is like she need to go back to the restaurant the next day to just get the cake rack and then return it to the catering place. And I'm like, wow, when I heard that, I'm like, that's miserable because you still have like party afterwards.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't I do that for you? And she's like, no, you don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. I would go to bed myself. I'm like, oh my God, that's like terrible because she's already tired. And it's like 12 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, oh, she have to get up next day. Go all the way from Brooklyn, go back to Chinatown, and get the rack and return it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's... It is another example, I think, of essentially middle-class people feeling pressure to look and act rich.
I thought that's just what she wants. She always wanted...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's what consciously that's what people are doing, but it is the result of, I think, middle-class people believing, essentially mimicking the social behaviors of wealthy people.
Okay.
But without realizing, the motivations are actually quite different.
Okay, you mean like that diamond ring?
Long
times ago, it wasn't diamond, just the advertisement.
Yeah.
It make it like really popular. And right now, the diamond price just dropped a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that the it's a trap. I think there's all these traps where, and you see this with couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that they, a lot of couples have an idea about themselves and their social status. Like they think of themselves as having a specific kind of social status and they will do everything, including making really bad financial decisions
to maintain
that image of class belonging.
Okay.
And I think having these weddings, in my opinion, is sort of not the biggest example of this. I mean, weddings aren't that expensive, but they're a load of trouble.
Oh my God.
And you don't, I don't have a problem with them. I mean, like, you know, we had friends who threw a wedding at like the Central Park Boathouse or whatever. I'm sure it was very expensive, but I had a good time. I was like, yeah,
I had a good time.
I like being here on a Sunday or Saturday or whatever day it was.
Mm-hmm.
And fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a load of trouble. It's not necessary. If you don't really want to do it, you don't have to do it. No one's going to think less of you for doing it.
But some people, they dream about it for years after years.
Well, then do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, then go ahead and do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but it's just unnecessary. And the way we did it, which was so, it was just a few of your family, a few of my friends at a park. Mm-hmm. We had Ron Kim come and officiate his three daughters, his wife. I did a lot of the cooking.
Oh, he did everything.
Prepping.
Yeah. My cousin helped.
Yeah. And then our friends helped. Like Adam helped.
Chong helped.
Chong helped. Your cousin.
Yeah, my mom
James helped.
A great help.
And it was great fun. It was probably like one of the best days of my life. I remember all of it.
Yeah,
I had
it was so
lucky,
much
fun.
Right? The weather's nice. Because the day before it was like it's going to rain or something.
Yeah. And it was just a beautiful day.
Yeah. And then it turned out it's like because the rain the day before and it turned out like there's no pollen.
Yeah. There was
I
no
don't
pollen.
Have allergy.
Yeah,
I don't
you
have
didn't
allergy.
Have allergies. Yeah.
Yeah. And the weather's nice.
Yeah.
And we got to a pretty good spot on time.
Yeah.
You're under the shade.
We just had a
stuff.
Cookout. We had a nice barbecue cookout.
Yeah, but
and then we got married.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons people may want a big wedding because they need to like remember that their identity change.
Yeah.
So that they need the big one too, you know, because after our wedding I keep asking him like who he is and who I am. And he was like, I'm just teaching him to, you know,
training.
I'm like,
you're getting used to the idea.
Yeah, I just want him to, you know, but because like, you know, so
call
I
call you Lopo.
Yeah, because I can remember sometime like we already get married because I feel like it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Except you seem nicer at the wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
I was a nicer person?
I think you're nicer to me.
After the wedding.
I guess.
Really? I didn't notice myself.
I guess because you're like, oh, now I'm like trapped.
No, I don't feel trapped at all. No. I do not feel trapped at all. No, I feel freed.
Really? Yeah. I feel like you're much, not much, mm-hmm. but I feel you're nicer. And I'm like, ooh, I can be meaner. You can't go anywhere.
No. I feel after our marriage, I feel free. I don't feel trapped at all. It's the complete opposite of that.
I just feel more certain about our relationship after we get married, I guess. I can plan a lot more. Yeah. I can plan better because, you know, now you are under my insurance and, you know. So we kind of, you know, can do something together.
Yeah. No, I think we have, I don't know. I personally think that we have an ideal marriage. I'm very happy. I'm very happily married. I wouldn't have it any other way, really.
And
it wasn't hard work. I think that's the other thing. People are always like, you know, marriage is hard work. Relationships are hard work. I don't think they should be that hard.
I don't think it should be that hard. I think when you get the right one, mm-hmm. then you will feel like everything becomes so easy.
It should be kind of easy.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean, when I'm with my ex, I just feel really tough.
Yeah.
It's everything is like you can't communicate. You're like not sure what's going on and you're kind of mad all the time.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. Those are bad signs.
Miserable, but you're like, oh, but you feel like he's still nice, but you're like, oh, but what?
The idea that when people say that love is hard work, relationships are really hard work, I think a lot of that is rationalizing the plain fact
that
the relationship's not that good.
Not matching.
Yeah, it's not really working out.
Yeah,
and you're just saying relationships are always hard work because you're trying to normalize bad relationships.
Or that's what they have seen other people doing the same thing.
Yeah. It is coaching it, you know, to believe that is to coach people to stay in relationships that are not really working. Because a good relationship should make life easier. That's the whole point. It shouldn't make life harder.
Yeah, I feel like my life easier, especially mm-hmm. like during COVID, everything become like so weird.
Yeah.
And thank God I have you. That's why I kind of understand what's going on and make me less fear. And also when I started going back to work, you drove me at the beginning and let me feel like safer. You know, I have a backup plan.
Yeah.
But after you go back to, you know, your workplace, I have to take the subway. But I was like, well, in case of emergency, I know at least you can, you know. Pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels much safer that way.
Yeah. So I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all.
Me neither.
To be honest.
I mean, based on my own experience, I just feel like when you're with someone, you know, you're matching with.
Yeah.
Everything just becomes so easy. It's like breeze.
Yeah.
Like just,
yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that was fun. What do you think? Did you have fun podcasting in bed?
I don't know.
Oh. We could just hit stop. Okay. I'll save the file and then we can go to bed. We can go to sleep.
Yeah, we can go to bed directly. How to do it. Well, shouldn't we say goodbye?
Yeah. All right. That was fun. And you'll hear from us next week. Okay. Bye.
Bye.